Good morning.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Bonnie Blair. I represent the cities of Anaheim, Azusa, Banning, Colton, and Riverside in this case. In this case, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission failed to engage in reasoned decision-making by adopting specific rules for the allocation of costs, directing that those rules be incorporated in the California ISO tariff, and then directing a so-called modification of the rules that in fact invalidated the entire classification scheme. The case began when the California ISO proposed a change in the methodology for collecting so-called must-offer costs with the goal of more closely tracking cost causation. In its initial order, opinion number 492, the FERC made three critical findings. First, it approved a three-bucket methodology for classifying costs as zonal, local, or system on the basis that the three-bucket system was more consistent with cost causation than the previous system-wide method for collecting those costs.
And then there was a petition for a hearing, and the commission changed its mind as to the accuracy of attachment B.
It did not change its mind as to the accuracy of attachment E, and that's a critical point of our argument here.
In due course, I'm not sure which opinion first did it, it ordered the modification of attachment E.
It ordered what it characterized as a modification of attachment E, but in fact, the three-bucket system stayed in the tariff. Attachment E stayed in the tariff.
Decisions to the actual outcome here?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
So what exactly is the deficiency in language? I didn't see that in your brief.
I think there's a very detailed discussion beginning at page 25 of the city's initial brief where we describe the factors that the commission pointed to say this is why we think the south of Lugo constraint. Remember that we're talking.
This is a somewhat different issue. So we were talking about whether the ordered modification of attachment E was adequate under the circumstances. But if you want to shift away from that.
I think I'm focusing on that, Your Honor. The attachment E remained in place, and attachment E had a set of very defined characteristics that would distinguish between local, zonal, and system. The only modification that the commission ordered in response to Southern Cal Edison's request on rehearing was to say, well, we don't like the outcome of applying attachment E to this particular constraint, south of Lugo, so California ISO, modify south of Lugo, or modify the attachment E criteria to say that south of Lugo is zonal.
I thought your point was that on rehearing, the commission applied a different set of factors.
Correct.
And implicitly, that it was impermissible for it to do so.
Yes, Your Honor.
And why is that so when it is dealing on rehearing?
Because it never purported to abandon Attachment E. It kept Attachment E in place. It kept it in the tariff. And then it applied not just different factors, but completely inconsistent factors.
Well, that's certainly not true. First, I have mentioned here at page 25, Southern Cities loads impact power plugs on and contribute to the South Dakota constraint. Isn't that the essence of it?
That's the essence of FERC's justification, but it's totally inconsistent with Attachment E. Attachment E says...
But to the extent that there's a conflict, the Commission has made clear that this controls, which and this is part of its longstanding cost causation principle.
It invoked the cost causation principle generally, but it never reconciled the inconsistency between Attachment E, which it left in the tariff, and this entirely different set of factors, which are actually inconsistent with Attachment E.
But it told CAISO to modify Attachment E. And is it your position that it would be impossible to modify Attachment E without just getting rid of it entirely?
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to classify south of Lugo as zonal and maintain the Attachment E criteria in the tariff. And that's what FERC did. It might have said, we just don't like Attachment E anymore. We're going to throw it out, and we're going to do something completely different.
Well, I'm repeating what they did as saying that we're not completely discontent with Attachment E, but to the extent that we see a conflict between it and the cost causation principle, the latter prevails.
Well, they initially concluded that Attachment E was fully consistent with the cost causation principle.
And then they changed their mind.
They didn't purport to change their mind. They never purported to abandon Attachment E. They granted rehearing as to south of Lugo. And the essence of our argument is you can't establish principles and rules and then fail to apply those principles and rules in a specific instance without reconciling the conflict. And they never addressed the conflict.
Courts often state a principle very broadly, and when they come up with case where it seems that they overstated it, they say that this particular case actually doesn't fit it correctly, but we did overstate it. So the Commission seemed to be saying here that in Attachment E it overstated that principle. Because it ran into the broader, more compelling principle of cost causation.
I don't think it can be read that way, Your Honor, because there is a fundamental inconsistency between Attachment E, which they kept in the tariff, and the factors that they pointed to invoke the broader principle of cost causation to treat south of Lugo in a manner that was inconsistent with Attachment E.
So FERC says that it acknowledges on rehearing that although South Lugo does not satisfy the zonal interface definition in Attachment E, FERC has come to this conclusion that it should be so classified given cost causation. And says that this also conforms with CAISO's most current operating procedure for South Lugo. So FERC keeps saying in its brief, it never adopted Attachment E. It was just there for guidance, that there were all kinds of questions raised about Attachment E. So it wasn't a binding rule, etc. And it was perfectly permissible for it on reconsideration to basically change its mind, saying that while it looked at operational realities of South Lugo earlier, it now realized, and it didn't say it this way, it had made a mistake. Rather, it said, the criteria, as Judge Williams is saying, the criteria just don't fit appropriately here.
Your Honor, if they had confronted Attachment E and abandoned it with a principled reason, we'd have a different case. But to say that Attachment E was simply guidelines is just not accurate. It was in the tariff, and the tariff is binding on FERC, and it's binding on the entire marketplace. They said, well, the tariff wasn't final, but the fact is they never took Attachment E out of the tariff.
Right, but in their rehearing in paragraph 25, they acknowledge that the operational characteristics of South Lugo simply don't fit in one of those buckets as it's described in E, but it should, given the realities of the operational system in South Lugo.
They focus on operational characteristics that have nothing to do with the criteria that they established and maintained.
Well,
in other words,
regional reliability benefits.
Regional reliability benefits, that general approach effectively collapses the three-bucket system. And that's the crux of our argument, is you set up a three-bucket system, you defined criteria for implementing the three-bucket system, and then you looked at completely different characteristics to decide south of Lugo.
Can I ask you about the cost causation principle in this context? Because I understand the cities to be saying, yes, we benefit, but everybody benefits, so that would justify a system-wide cost.
Correct.
But what's the response to the claim that there's also causation, where the cities are causing this constraint, therefore they benefit from the mitigation? Does that apply to everybody else in the system as well?
We believe it does, Your Honor, yes. In other words, the causation aspect that the commission focused on was power flows. And the evidence was that if you're going to consider the impact of power flows, there's no real basis for departing from a system-wide approach, because power flows in the northern part of California also affect the south of Lugo constraint.
All right.
I'd like to reserve whatever time I have left, unless you have further questions, obviously.
No, we'll give you a couple of minutes.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. Karen Larson for the respondent, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I'd like to first make clear that, contrary to what petitioners stated, the Attachment E criteria were not in the tariff.
Well, the ALJ found that the criteria were incorporated into the CAISO tariff. All right, that's at JA 352, and then FERC summarily affirms the ALJ.
The ALJ recommended that the criteria be incorporated into the tariff, mm-hmm. and yes, the commission summarily affirmed that and instructed the system operator to then make a compliance filing in order to first introduce the criteria language into
okay.
the tariff.
But in the order, or the opinion and order summarily affirming, FERC states that criteria E is an integral part of the proposed rate design. That's at, JA 415. So I don't understand your statements that FERC never approved it, it was never part of the tariff.
Throughout, what I meant is that throughout this proceeding, until the commission's final two orders that were issued in 2011, approving the tariff language that was presented in two compliance filings by the system operator, it wasn't until then that the criteria language became part of a FERC-approved and accepted tariff.
Well, as I understood it, when it ordered CAISO to make compliance filings, the instruction was make compliance filings in accordance with the criteria set forth in Attachment E.
Correct.
And CAISO didn't have the option at that point to ignore that because FERC had said it's an integral part of the rate design.
Right. What the commission undertook here was a two-step review process of this proposed cost allocation system. First, it looked at generally whether the criteria were just and reasonable. It determined yes, and then it went to the second step, and it looked at whether the application of the criteria to certain constraints, in particular the south of Lugo constraint, would be just and reasonable. And it's there that the commission found, based on substantial evidence in the record, that the criteria would not, the application of the criteria would not be just and reasonable, and therefore ordered that the criteria be explicitly modified to correct that. So the south of Lugo constraints, the costs associated with that constraint, would then fall in the zonal bucket.
Could you tell me where in the joint appendix could find the actual language in which the modification ordered by the commission?
Yes, the commission ordered that modification in the second order to 2007.
Right, I know it ordered it, but what I'm trying to find out is, and,
sure.
then in the compliance finding, the commission says it's been done, but where are the actual words that do the modification?
Sure. In the compliance filing, the system operator opted to put into effect the directive from the commission to modify the criteria by, rather than modifying the criteria, modifying the related definition of interzonal interface.
And where is, I'm just trying to get where it's on the page that I can look at.
Sure. The compliance, I think the words on the page would be in the compliance filing, excuse me. I mean, the order on the compliance filing.
Well, I didn't see it in the order.
Yeah. I'm looking at, in the compliance order, JA 582.
Yeah.
The commission described how in the December 2007 compliance filing that the system operator modified the definition is paragraph 23,
yeah.
Modified the definition of interzonal interface to explicitly refer to both Miguel and the south of Lugo constraints. And that definition works with the criteria were put forth, proposed to be put forth into the tariff to state that for something to be considered to be zonal, it would have to have the operating effect of maintaining either a certain transmission lines or an interzonal interface. And that's how the definition works with the criteria to allow the south of Lugo cost to fall in the zonal bucket. And I think what's important here to keep in mind is that no one protested the compliance filing, and because the entire program was superseded in 2009, and here we are in 2011 when commission was issuing this order, without any protest to this compliance filing, this program's now defunct. The commission just accepted the way that the system operator proposed to fix the problem.
Can you summarize the way in which Attachment E is modified by saying Attachment E prevails except this case, except for Miguel and South Lugo? Because the application of Attachment E to them would in fact violate the cost causation principle. Is that a fair summary?
Yes.
But the modification, in other words, it's not a modification of the criteria as criteria. It's a declaration that the outcome is going to be different with respect to Miguel and South Lugo.
Yes, I would say that's a generally correct assessment. The commission here found that generally the criteria did follow the cost causation principle, but when it looked specifically at the south of Lugo constraint, it found that if you were to strictly apply the criteria as originally proposed by the system operator, that the result would, with respect to this one constraint, would vary from that cost causation principle that cost should follow benefits. And the commission looked at evidence that with respect to the south of Lugo constraint, that multiple entities that serve load in Southern California in that zone both contributed to the constraint and benefited from the relief of the constraint. And for that reason, classifying that the cost associated with that constraint as zonal more closely followed the cost causation principle and created and then was a just and reasonable result. And so the commission corrected course on rehearing on that issue. Just one other thing I'd like to point out is that in doing so, the commission did not create a new test. The commission throughout this proceeding was applying its longstanding cost causation principle. And any suggestion that there was this new test of reliability benefits is just not true. The cost causation principle has always included and accommodated this idea of cost should follow benefits.
Just for my clarification, in response to my question, you said this is a two-step process. Is that FERC's standard operating procedure?
The commission, has the discretion to review rate filings before it as it may, and that is how the commission evaluated this particular proposed cost allocation methodology. It described in its order, in its second order, that it was doing this two-step review.
Okay.
Since this program is now defunct, does this attachment E criteria have any function anymore?
No, it does not. It was in place. It affected these costs. It dictated the cost allocation from the period 2004 to 2009. The entire must-offer program was removed and replaced. But if there's no further questions, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Counsel for petitioners.
Thank you, Your Honor. Counsel for the commission observed that no one protested the California ISO's compliance filing following the November 2007 order. The reason the cities did not protest the compliance filing is that, in our view, the compliance filing did exactly what the commission directed the California ISO to do. In other words, in the November 2007 order, the commission said, we're leaving attachment E criteria in place. But we don't like the outcome with regard to south of Lugo, and therefore the California ISO is directed to, modify the criteria, end quote, to treat south of Lugo as zonal. And that's what the California ISO did. We had filed a request for rehearing of our order. Our quarrel at that point was with the commission, not with the compliance filing. Second point, counsel for the commission said that the commission did not apply a new test. It simply applied cost causation throughout. However, it decided that the attachment E criteria as filed were consistent with cost causation. It did that in opinion number 492, and then it subsequently concluded that it did not like the outcome with regard to the south of Lugo constraint and relied on different factors to conclude that treatment of south of Lugo as zonal was required to comply with cost causation. So there is...
Your argument reminds me of the frequent scenario where a statute is upheld as constitutional, then a particular application of it is found to be unconstitutional. And this seems to follow that pattern. Let's say, as a general matter, attachment E is consistent with cost causation. There can be particular situations where its application, its literal application, violates the cost causation principle. What more do we have than that?
think we have more, Your Honor, in the sense that it looked at an entirely different set of factors, and those factors are not only inconsistent with the attachmentee criteria, but they're inconsistent with the three-bucket methodology that the commission left in place. If the commission was unhappy with the application of the attachmentee criteria, it could have stepped back and said, let's look at this again. Let's look at whether there should be a three-bucket methodology. Let's look at how we should distinguish among the buckets. But it didn't do that. It just said, we don't like how it comes out with regard to south of Lugo.
It didn't say we don't like it. It said the way it comes out is inconsistent with the cause of causation.
That's correct, Your Honor. Looking at completely different factors and looking at factors that were simply not compatible with the three-bucket methodology that it left in place and the attachment E criteria, which it found to be an integral part of the three-bucket methodology. Any further questions, Ron?
Thank you. We'll take the case.